All right, buddy. We're going round two on this one. It's probably not going to be the last time we talk about it. Hit us with today's beats.
Kyrie Irving. And also the article that came out from Woj documenting the internal process that the Brooklyn Nets have been going through and how their perspective has shifted on Kyrie and what it may mean to approach this season without one of their big stars. This continues to unravel, and unfortunately, not in that beautiful present on Christmas morning kind of way.
Nets Nation's being ripped apart at the seams right now with this. It's getting crazy out there in the Nets streets. We're going to talk about the Kyrie Irving situation, where it stands with the front office, and more. But first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn
You
Nets
are Locked
podcast.
On Nets, part your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network,
your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. I'm Doug Norrie, at Doug Norrie over on Twitter. That's Adam Armbrecht, at Adam Armbrecht over on Twitter. We are ready to cover a full, I don't know, day's worth of Brooklyn Nets news. The hits just keep on coming. I thought we had covered most of it on yesterday's podcast. We clearly haven't. We're about to dive back in. This is probably going to end up doing it tomorrow too, buddy. How are we doing? Locked On Kyrie Irving podcast coming at you.
It's like listening into an ear mirror, because when I introed yesterday's show, I feel like I said the same thing. We thought we were going to get away from Kyrie, and yet we get ourselves right back into it. We finished our episode yesterday just ahead of some more news breaking. Woj coming out with an ESPN article that really details some of the internal, I think, perspectives and thinking by the Brooklyn Nets, and the way that over the course of this, we'll call it the Kyrie timeline, things have certainly changed as far as how the Nets feel and how they may be preparing to approach the situation with Kyrie.
Man, life comes at you so fast with this stuff, man. It's crazy. By the time we finished recording yesterday's podcast, which, by the way, was about Kyrie Irving, it almost felt old.
not the right stuff about Kyrie Irving, though.
And like half the podcast was about him. It was almost like dated by the time we hit publish. We're going to get into the Woj piece. It was simultaneously reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, and Brian Windhorst, and then we have some other player quotes from today. Also, I will say before we get to the Woj, quotes and the player ones too, which are going to outline sort of where I'm going with this thought. But if you had to say right now, is the situation better today than it was yesterday? And like, where do you think, like, or how much worse? I mean, I think it's clearly worse, but the, you know, what's your timeline and feeling around this situation? And we're going to get into all the details, but how are you feeling along the Kyrie timeline that you just mentioned?
I've been simultaneously feeling better and worse. So I've been feeling worse in the sense that it looks like things continue to be trending in the direction of a problem here with Kyrie, and he's not going to necessarily be available for the start of the season, and it is going to roll over and create problems for the Nets. But I feel better because over the course of this timeline, it seems like the Brooklyn Nets are starting to take a harder and harder line on this, which at least means that they're going to bring this to a conclusion. Whether or not it's the ideal version of what I hoped for, it's going to get resolved sooner than later, because the organization now seems to be, they've reached their limit, right? So if they've reached their limit, something's going to break here. I'm not sure if it's going to be Kyrie or if it's going to be the organization, but I'd like to think that what we originally looked at as saying, this is the deal you make when you sign on with superstars, and it's just going to kind of be up to Kyrie to dictate what happens here. Now, over the course of this, I feel like it's gotten to a place where, hey, this is a two-way street now, and the organization's voice is going to be heard, Kyrie. And if you don't necessarily agree with it, we're going to feel more and more comfortable pushing back on what your perspective or stance may be.
We went from Kyrie Irving is going to sign an extension, it's locked, he's going to be a Net for life, to
nothing to worry about
fast
there.
Fast forward, is he going to play it all this season? That's like way on the other end of the bell curve, I'll say. I think he's going to play, but it's, you have to at least entertain it now. And for those who have been living under some kind of rock here around Nets news, we're talking about the idea that, or the information that Kyrie Irving is still not vaccinated, is not practicing with the Nets, and we're going to get into what some of this Woj stuff is. So hit us with the Woj. Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN and Brian Windhorst dropped, I would call a fairly significant bomb on Tuesday evening with an article they wrote that I'll read this first part. It's up on YouTube if you're over on our YouTube channel. Sources with Windhorst at Brian Windhorst, ESPN. The Brooklyn Nets remain unclear on all-star guard Kyrie Irving's ultimate intentions to get vaccinated and have made no decision on whether the organization will accommodate him, it's an interesting word, as a part-time player this season. There had been previous optimism Irving would get vaccinated and fulfill local mandates, but that hope is waning, another interesting word, and Irving's continued resistance, interesting, to vaccination has Nets preparing for the possibility they'll be without him for home practices and games for this foreseeable future. What were your thoughts when you saw Woj do this, and they did a more detailed piece on ESPN that had some other stuff in it?
Yeah, so most of what you take away from what Woj is communicating is, again, the Nets had a sense in their mind based on conversations we assume they've been having behind closed doors with Kyrie about what this was going to look like and when it was going to be resolved. And the general sense is, okay, you're not sure when you're going to want to do it. You're off doing your own thing in the off season, not a big deal. But at the end of the day, you're going to get the vaccine and you're going to be ready to play with the team when the season gets underway, and probably even sooner, right? Probably when training camp gets underway, you're going to be back in here for it in a part of the preseason games. Now, it looks like that line was moved by Kyrie. His opinion or stance on this has moved, and it's shifted how the Nets thought things were going to play out, right? Like, I mean, that has to be the way that you look at this, is that there was some understanding. Remember, go back. We talked about this a few episodes ago when Kyrie at Media Day from afar on a Zoom call, he said, I'm going to keep that private, personal decision. I'd like if you respected that, and we're going to move forward with the plan, right? He referenced this plan. And I think that there was a plan. I just think that Kyrie Irving has changed it now, and it has completely taken the Brooklyn Nets by surprise. For as wild card of a character as Kyrie can be, there was some understanding here about what this was going to look like, and this was not it.
Yeah, so that's 100% what's happening here. And I want to be real clear about something. So we talked about this previously with Joseph Tsai and his comments around Kyrie Irving and what we thought was a very clear message that Tsai was sending through the media, through quotes, to basically say, hey, go get the vaccine so you can play. Yep. That is not what he directly said. Go back and listen to our Joseph Tsai episode from like three episodes ago to get all of our thoughts there, because I think we actually summed it up pretty well around what we thought Joseph Tsai was saying at the time. This article, when I first read it, and I think when a lot of people first read it, this was so clear to me that this was the Nets using the media as a messaging arm for what they wanted to happen. It's so clear that it's directly sourced basically from the Nets, right? They went and told Woj, they are not mixing words here. There's a couple other interesting things part of it. The words are very crafted around what is the message they want to send. And before people get the idea that, because we live in a very hot takey culture, and this word media gets thrown into this hopper where everyone thinks that if you were just, or anyone that talks about sports at all, you're part of the media. And while that's technically true, there's different levels to this. Mm-hmm. This is not like Max Kellerman or Kendrick Perkins or Stephen A. Smith going on a show and just spouting off some nonsense of their opinion. That's not what this is. This is because that's not usually sourced. This is sourced reporting that is definitely 100% was the Nets going out and saying, we are going to use Adrian Wojnarowski as a part of our media, our public relations arm, to send a message that this is not, we are not going to stand for this anymore. Like, you have to come back and play. We are not going to entertain a situation where you're like kind of half in and half out. That was not directly said in the article. You'd be crazy if you did not think that this was the exact goal of this article, was to send this very clear. Now, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but this is how sometimes this version of the media works. Well, is, hey, we're not going to issue a press release that says this, but instead of a press release, we're going to basically by proxy press release this through, you know, about as respected an insider as there is in the NBA or really in sports, has dialed in a guy and send our message very, very clearly. There's no other way to read this situation.
No. And again, it's combine it with Joseph Tsai in the Brian Lewis article. Now you combine it with this from Woj. And to your point, these aren't, by the way, it's not you and I having a conversation and saying, hey, how do you think this is going to play itself out? We can read tea leaves as well as anybody, but we're not speaking to insiders around the NBA or members of the Brooklyn Nets organization. Brian Lewis is when he's talking to the owner, and we know that Woj is completely plugged in with the NBA at large. So you're getting it from reliable sources. The only interesting thing that I think we can get into as well is the decision to do this publicly through a media outlet, as opposed to whatever may have been the conversations directly with Kyrie.
Well, I actually think there have been direct conversations and they weren't getting anywhere. Yeah. Like that's what this to me is this isn't step one. This isn't like, you know, you don't drop an atom bomb when you can fire one bullet, not to use a violent reference, right? Like you don't ultimately go to the full, like full on, all hands on deck kind of thing to start. You have conversations, you send messages, you have conversation, you know, you talk to them, they say that you try to educate and whatever it is. I think this is them exhausting all those other things. We know how the Nets aren't like this. Stories like this aren't actually written about the Nets. This never happens. Like then the Nets, we called the Nets a vault the other day. That was true. The Nets are an absolute media vault. You often don't know what's going to happen until it's signed on the dotted line and it's over. This is actually the first example I can think since we started doing this podcast where this was like very clear about what was happening. Like even think back to Kyrie's situation last year where he didn't play. We never heard anything. There was never something like this written.
They just after a practice session, when they asked Steve Nash about the situation with Kyrie, he said all the things remember from last year. He said, we're here for him. We're supportive of him. We're supportive of having conversations with him. And we hope that it, you know, resolves itself in due time was essentially the message. Now, you know, if you want to read body language and the way certainly a coach versus another player, we're going to get to Kevin Durant in a little bit too, but I think you can get the sense of maybe if we went back and looked at the press conference with Sean Marks and Steve Nash there as well, we might read into things a little bit deeper. But I think that there is an exhaustive nature to this now at this point, because now you're getting asked these questions when everything is supposed to be about focusing on the practice sessions, the players, getting guys into a rhythm and figuring out some things over the course of the preseason game. So, you know, as much a part of what Josiah is saying, and that's the most important voice to be heard here, we said this the other day too. At some point, you are in a conversation between Steve Nash, Sean Marks, and Joseph Tsai. And there's no way that in quiet moments amongst themselves on the top floor, they don't go, gosh darn it, isn't this annoying?
Oh, dude, this is it. This is the there's a couple other quotes in here that I think actually even more damning than we've said before. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Sweatblock. You've heard us talk about these guys before. It's just because it works. Maybe you're a person like me in the past who had to think about what shirt they were going to wear before they got up in front of a group where you're going to show some of those sweat stains if you didn't pick the right color. Those days are over when you're using Sweatblock. Currently, the number one in Amazon's antiperspirant category. Like that. Like to see the stats climbing all the way up the charts. It's been the bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years. 13,000 reviews. With Sweatblock, you can wear what you want to wear. You have a little secret to confidence. It works for up to 7 days per use. 7 days. That's a whole week, buddy, if you're doing the math. You have the dry shirt guarantee. If Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. If you head on over to Sweatblock right now, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's going to grab you 20% off. Or you can just go over to the aforementioned Amazon or CVS. They have it there too. Sweatblock's everywhere these days. If you're dealing with sweat, it can be embarrassing. It can be something you don't really want to talk about. So take it from someone who's been through it. It doesn't have to worry about it anymore. Grab Sweatblock now. Sweatblock.com, 20% off. Locked On is the promo code Sweatblock.com.
And of course, we just want to remind everybody, thanks for making the Locked On Nets podcast your first listen of the day. You're listening to us for free because we're available on every single platform. So continue to enjoy that as we enjoy your patronage. The quick thing I want to get to before we get to Kevin Durant and his comments.
Well, there's one more quote from this Woj piece that I want to get to.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So there's one, the one other interesting quote in here. So we talked about, like, you know, patience waning and there's resistance to the vaccine, a lot of negative words, right? Like there's clearly a negativity around this piece that is the words aren't just like, you know, Woj didn't go to the thesaurus to try to figure out what word to use here. Like these were very, this is crafted. This is, it's not, again, it's not a press release, but it might as well have been. There's one other part that I thought was really interesting in this piece, and you might've missed it if you were reading it. And it's this line. The Nets believe they're still a championship contender with a roster constructed around Kevin Durant and James Harden, and could ultimately have to make hard decisions on Irving's future should he remain unvaccinated and unable to play in Barclays Center or Madison Square Garden. That, among all the things we talked about, was actually the most eye-opening. That's where the record really scratched for me when I read that piece, because that is not Woj just thinking out loud about how they might be feeling. This means this was said. I mean, okay, I'll take it from you. What do you hear when you hear those words? When you hear they're a championship contender with Kevin Durant and James Harden.
We can do this without you. We don't necessarily need you to do it. We'd like you to be here. It'd make it a lot easier, but we feel confident that we can win a championship without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, exactly. If you do not read it that way, you just don't read enough NBA media. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not trying to be didactic here or be preachy or whatever. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with it. I'm just saying this is so clear what the message is, that they're not just picking words out of the sky here to try to figure out what sounds good on paper. This is not a first take thing. This is not trying to go for ratings. This is not, you need a good, strong A block to make sure everyone sticks in through the commercial break. That's not this. This is the Nets said, hey, we can win this with Kevin Durant and James Harden. So are you in? Are you out? We don't want to say this to you directly. We don't want to say that. It would be hard to sit you down in a room and say this, but now we are saying this.
Well, so here's the deal. Okay, so that's the point that I kind of wanted to get to here, because again, put on your tinfoil hats or just say the Nets got a little bit lucky looking to bolster their roster. But we talked about this in the last couple episodes as well from the first preseason game. Didn't see Patty Mills yet, but you know you have Patty Mills. You know you have this microwave scorer and the rookie Cam Thomas, Bruce Brown, right? So you start to look at this roster, and I think obviously the Nets believe in the two superstars that are there with Harden and with Kevin Durant, but you also think about the pieces around them. So the Nets have done a good job. If this was occurring last offseason, things would look a lot differently. And even if you already had James Harden there in the fold and didn't have to trade for him in season, I think you'd be looking at this differently based on the supporting cast around your superstar talent. But you mentioned can't sit Kyrie down and say this. This is also a part of it from a Brooklyn Nets standpoint. I think the reason why this is out there through a media outlet is because this is now saying everything that we've done to this point has been about, speaking to you, Kyrie, with respect, right? Having a two-way street of this conversation, and whether there's been little check marks over the course of your tenure with the Nets that we said, oh, we didn't love that, but we're going to let it slide. Okay, you're back in the fold. Boy, I wish you had been a part of this or been there, etc. Okay, fine. But once you release it in the media, I also think this is the public maneuver by the Brooklyn Nets to make a very clear statement to the fan base. Prepare yourself for what may come next year, because everything else that we've been telling you is, don't worry about what's being said in the media. Yeah. We're having the positive conversations with Kyrie. This is now them. And it's the smart thing to do. It's the right thing to do to say, hey, this is where we are, Brooklyn Nets fans. Just so you're aware for whatever comes next, don't get blindsided by it, because in some senses, we were blindsided by where we are with Kyrie. And now we have to kind of pivot pretty hard here.
Oh, that's a great point. I think that's 100%. I think it's a message to both parties here, or all parties, saying we're cresting over the event horizon here on this. We did not think we would be in this situation. We have maybe exhausted all of our other options, and now we are sending a message to him. By the way, I'm not sure this kind of messaging even works with him. Really, I think that's the other
part of it, because it's now you're sending a public message to Kyrie, but you've also probably been sending a private message to him in the conversations you've been having with him. And that's, I think, there's probably humor. There's humor in every phase of life, and there's humor in this circumstance that what would feel like for most people be like, oh my God, my boss has just called me out. They just dragged me out on the carpet in front of everybody. That would hit you, but not necessarily Kyrie. There's a world where this further entrenches him into whatever his line of thinking was. And again, however you feel about Kyrie as an individual or as a player, I do think that he is in the wind of perception. So whatever he threw out around his opinion or thoughts on this, or his stance on getting vaccinated or being available, now he may actually be leaning into that more, whether or not he had any intention of taking it as far as he has. And that thing that we talked about, again, episodes ago, Kyrie would just as soon retire rather than be traded by the Brooklyn Nets. I wonder if that may get put to the test here. I'm not saying the Brooklyn Nets would ever be looking to trade Kyrie Irving, but just the reality of you may get to a place here where the Brooklyn Nets are okay being without you. And I don't think that Kyrie ever considered that being a real possibility.
And by the way, they just said it. Like they just said as much. They said as much. I know that's what you're getting at. Like they said as much. They say, hey, here's the thing. You maybe think that like there's like a negotiation happening here, or because they were very clear. They're like, we're not going to. And this is there's some other quotes coming in here too, but they basically said, we're not going to bend over backwards for this situation.
Right.
Like we're not going to in the Woj thing I read before, they said they're not going to entertain a situation where he's only there for part of the thing. Like they don't seem to be interested in even wanting to do that. He can't practice that's already happening. That's what got us talking about this yesterday. He already can't practice. He's not gonna be able to play in half the games. Like at what point, this is the Nets are saying here, we're not going to do this. We're not going to jump through these hoops all season long. Our team is good enough as we see it. Whether they believe that or not, they're saying it now. They're clearly a worse team without Kyrie. That's not really.
By the way, right? Like everyone's better with Kyrie. There's not a single team in the league that wouldn't be better if they had Kyrie Irving.
Of course.
And also, you can still look at your team and say, but are we capable of X, right? Can we still have a very deep playoff run? And can we go to the finals without Kyrie? Yeah. You know, if you're Steve Nash, if you're Josiah, if you're Sean Marks, and you're having those talks and you feel like that's a reality because you are going to be honest with yourself, because that's what moves the goalpost on what you're willing to tolerate from a player, you get to the point where you think we can be right back in the Eastern Conference Finals, looking to go to the finals and win a championship. All of a sudden, it shifts how much you weight Kyrie Irving's value to your franchise.
Yeah, and we got a couple more quotes here from Kevin Durant. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. You know these guys, the very best protein bar on the market. Point stop. Really, all the science is in on this one. It's not even close. If you tried other protein bars in the past, you know it's kind of getting that spongy cardboard flavor. You got to power it down just because you know there's some protein in it, but the flavors, you can tell they just didn't focus on that at all. Not a Built Bar. They started with the flavors to make sure it tastes great. 100% covered in chocolate, and then the inside, coconut, mint brownie, raspberry, double chocolate. They didn't pile those all together. Those are all individual bars that you can choose from. There's those flavors and more when you grab a Built Bar. And then you get to the stats. We love the analytics. Even on a protein bar, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5. 4 to 5 grams of net carbs as well. All amazing flavors, all super healthy for you. Built Bar is the easiest place to go when you need a quick pick-me-up, when you need a little protein. Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 15% off your order, but you have to use that promo code Locked On, just like our podcast network, for 15% off at built.com.
And of course, our friends over at betonline.ag want you to know that they're back and better than ever, as the college football and NFL are both well underway in their seasons. They got everything set up over on this website with an updated interface, even easier to navigate, so you can get all those great prop bets and sports updates that you need. It's the best number one place to go for all your online sports betting needs. When I look over there right now, by the way, friends, keep an eye on this. Brooklyn Nets championship odds maybe starting to take a little bit of a knock as the Kyrie situation continues to unfold. You can head over to the website or use that mobile device, and you can get a promo code Locked On, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using that promo code Locked On. From football, basketball, boxing, and even right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And so, Doug, on the other side of this thing, because there are always a couple of different layers to the way that we talk about situations like this, how does ownership feel? How does the GM feel? How does the coach feel? And then how do the players feel? So when we go ahead and get ourselves a little look-see here at the Kevin Durant response to what's going on around Kyrie's absence, Kevin went on to say, I'm assuming Kyrie being a part of our team. Maybe I'm just naive, but that's just how I feel. But everybody here has that confidence in themselves and our group that if we keep doing it, we can do something special. Much along the same lines, I'll get your take on this first. Much along the same ways when we talk about those initial quotes from Woj and the additional ones out of the article, what do you take out of Kevin Durant's response when he's asked about Kyrie not being there?
Well, I actually wondered if they'd even talked about it, because it's like that actually makes me feel like they hadn't even really talked about it all that much, or he was just kind of waiting and seeing like everybody else and was just going about his business. Because when he says he's envisioning it and he's like naive, that didn't strike me as someone that had long, heartfelt conversations with someone about whether they were going to do something or not. Right. Like if you knew what someone's stance was, I'm not Kevin Durant. I just think that the quote would sound different if you knew one way or the other. Like, cause I think if you knew, you would say something like, hey, that's Kyrie's decision. We're, you know, that's going to be up to him. Right. Or if you knew that he was going to take it, you'd say, hey, we have really good, thought process of what's going to happen here, and he might know something. When he calls himself saying he's envisioning it, but it really, when he calls himself naive, that makes me think, oh, are they like that? Actually, the word didn't, and this is not as going to be as crafted as stuff that goes out through the articles or what, even maybe what the GM says, because this is sort of after practice stuff. But that made me feel like, oh, they just don't know he doesn't know what's happening here. And it did not strike me as a guy with a lot of confidence that Kyrie was coming back. Like it did. Let me put it this way. It did not sound like they'd had a conversation where Kyrie is going to be playing in the situations that the Nets want him to be playing in. Like, I don't think this quote would read that way if that was the path.
Well, by the way, so I mean, like the example, I'm using this as the example. This isn't the example, but if you and I had a conversation off air around the podcast and you said, hey, I'm going to be taking off 3 weeks traveling with the family, we're doing all this stuff, and I was well aware of it. When people ask me questions about it, I may not explain that Doug is going to be on vacation and he has XYZ going on, but my response might be something along the lines of, yeah, I'm not worried about it. Doug's going to get back with us here soon, and we're going to start pumping out podcast episodes like you wouldn't believe, right? It'd be very dismissive of the concern. And right. An affirmation that there's nothing to worry about. We're going to get this thing back and rolling. And I'll pull it back up for YouTube one more time, that quote, because the only thing that I find interesting is that it felt a little bit like, and I don't have the context of visually seeing KD answer this question. When he says, though, but I just know how, but everybody here has that confidence in themselves and our group that if we keep doing it, we can do something special. We don't like to do the speculative thing, but I do get a little bit of a sense of everyone that's doing it here, as in everybody that's here and a part of this, feels good about what we're doing and what we can accomplish. I'm not going to go as far as to say that Kevin Durant is on the side of things with the organization or how they're approaching this situation, but one thing we didn't touch on the top, if you think for a second that Kevin Durant, who just signed that massive extension, we said this about every single thing that comes up within this organization. If you think that Joe Tsai and Steve Nash and Sean Marks haven't had conversations with Kevin Durant about how he feels about Kyrie and how he feels about the team and where they're going to, what they're going to do headed forward, then again, then you're like, maybe like Kevin Durant in this circumstance, a little bit naive, because you know this is run through that filter, especially because he's the one that is locked in to be here long term. This is his team. So he gets, you know, if it was that Kevin Durant said, listen, I don't care if it's for 20 games only on the road, I want Kyrie here, this wouldn't have happened. You wouldn't be hearing this in the press, because I don't think that you crossed that threshold yet, as Kevin Durant has been the antithesis of Kyrie so far in his tenure. Very quiet, keeps to himself, just wants the ball.
Yeah, this is just an increased distancing from the situation, and not from not wanting to talk about it, but increased distancing from Kyrie Irving. Like, this is, think about how different these quotes read now, and just go back, 9 days ago to Media Day, when it was, there was an optimism, there was, hey, that's Kyrie, let him deal with that, you know, like, that's his decision, we respect him, I'm paraphrasing, you know, that's, you know, we're with him, whatever he decides, and blah, blah, blah. And now, I don't know, 9 days later and a little closer to the season, these things look like, hey, the guys that are still here are going to try to win, and I don't really know what's going on with this guy. Like, that's how I read this quote, right? This was,
yeah,
we're here, we're trying to win. Maybe I'm naive and I think he's coming back, but I don't know. That's pretty close to what he said. And we're just going to, what can we do? We have to just go out and keep playing basketball. Under his current status, he cannot practice with us. Under his current status, he cannot play home games. It's just the closer you get to the season where it's not resolved, what else can you do but move on, right? Well, like, I don't know. And
we've talked about this as far as you've said this a lot recently, what these guys are, right? Apex predators, solely focused, driven by wanting to play back, to win championships, right? The pursuit of that thing. So sometimes the way that we perceive these relationships among players is also somewhat confined to the court and what it means to have that person alongside them, not necessarily as indicative about what their relationship may be off the court. Not to say that these guys aren't friends, but I also do think, and this is like the theme throughout the history of sports, when a guy gets injured, let alone if he says something, right? Just when a player gets hurt, it's out of sight, out of mind. If you're not here and in pursuit and pulling in the same direction that we are, we have to treat it as though you are not a part of this at all. And then if you come back, you're a part of it. And you can go back to last season, even with his hiatus, and outside of having to answer the questions as to why Kyrie wasn't available and what the expectations were, everything else was about, we have games to prepare for, we want to get better, we want to continue to build on what we're doing here, right? So everything becomes about blocking out every other narrative and every other focus, especially for championship caliber teams. And that's, if you start to hear it, maybe in drips and drabs out of some of the players, should this not get resolved sooner than later, that'll be even more of a push, because we know the NBA is a player-driven league. We know that the Nets are about that culture. So as soon as you hear Kevin Durant maybe say something affirmative in the vein of, yeah, if he's not ready to join us, so be it. We feel really good about ourselves and we're ready to hit this season. Like, that'll be even a little bit more defining of, okay, this is what it is. And if you're Kevin Durant, you have things you want to accomplish and you can't afford to be worried about whether or not Kyrie is going to be there. I will be curious, in the same way that the Nets organization was willing to tolerate certain things in pursuit of championships, is Kevin Durant or is James Harden, are they willing to tolerate certain things if they think that Kyrie Irving takes them from being very close to winning a championship to automatically locking in rings?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I don't think we can, you summed it up really well. We can't use our comps from our own life to describe the relationships with these guys. The injury thing I thought was really good. That's a great example. That's a great example of how you just need to mentally move on, because the games have to be played, and that's just how these guys are wired. That's why they're at the very top of their profession. You do not get the top of this profession like these guys have been by going willy-nilly into these situations or letting, you know, your emotions drive everything you do. That's just not how they're wired. It's how they've reached the pinnacle of success. And that's all I read from these KD quotes. And I do think there's got to be an increased lack of patience around having to answer this too, especially around the part where if everyone's feeling that like they're on board with the same thing and there's someone that's not, it just starts to wear on you too. So I don't know. I got one more quote, but then go ahead.
No, but just, and that's also to the point too. I think it changes the perspective of the players and of the organization that Kyrie to this point has been unwilling to engage in the conversations with the media in general around what his thought process is. Not that he needs to explain his personal decision in the process, but when you are somewhat dismissive around being willing to engage on it, you are then deflecting it off to the organization and to your teammates to answer for you. And you know that that's what happens. And so you can say, well, that's on the media to be trolling teammates and the team to hear about me. Maybe it is on the media, but also you can prevent that yourself. You can take actions to safeguard your teammates and the team from having to deal with this as much as possible. And you're also choosing not to do that as well.
Well, don't worry, because he cleared it up on Twitter when he posted, "Be still and know, dot, dot, dot." So there you go. That's all. I think we brought that to a close.
Need he say more? The proverbial. That's the chapter and verse, friends. We're all set here.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Really good episode coming tomorrow. We're going to be with the great Matt Brooks from over at Nets Daily. Going to jump on, get his thoughts on this topic, do a little roundtable about where the Nets stand right now. He's one of the best minds that are covering, if not be the best mind, that's covering the Nets right now. So Matt Brooks will be on tomorrow's podcast. In the meantime, make sure you are headed over to YouTube to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's the Locked On Nets YouTube channel. Every single episode is going up over there. Jump in the comments too. Say a nice word. Say a mean word. I don't care. We can jump in. You say something mean, we say thanks for listening. We'll jump in and say that too. Give it a like. Give it a subscribe. Seeing the numbers grow over there. Going to be over there all season long with podcasts and more. Like and subscribe over on the Locked On Nets YouTube channel.
An uncredited quote, but interesting, isn't it? You are born, you live as you are, and then you die willy-nilly.
Oh, one of the all-time great poets? RIP? I'm not sure. All right, we'll be back again tomorrow with Matt Brooks talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.